Due to the content of this interview, the following program may not be suitable for young children. Listener discretion is advised.
Although many people are afraid of ISIS and evacuating the area, Victor Marks and his team are going into the region to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. On today's edition of Family Talk, Victor Marks and his wife Eileen share how his team is ministering to families in one of the most high-risk regions of the world, and that program begins now.
Today on Family Talk.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and today we're going to continue our program with world-renowned martial artist and evangelist Victor Marks and his wife Eileen. Victor and Eileen have founded a ministry that not only works with juvenile delinquents and those who suffer from PTSD, but is now also working in northern Iraq, ministering to those who have suffered at the hands of ISIS. ISIS regularly abducts boys and girls and uses them as sex slaves to recruit fighters from around the world. And not only are Victor and Eileen rescuing these children, but they're also providing care for those who have been raped, ravaged, and now rescued. Today we'll hear the second part of a program that features this amazing couple and their ministry. But before we get into day two, I want to let you know about a campaign that Victor and Eileen have created to help the children affected by ISIS. As you can imagine, many of these children suffer from deep PTSD as a result of being either abducted or raped or by seeing their families killed right in front of them. As a result, Victor and Eileen, through their ministry, All Things Possible, have created the Lion and the Lamb Initiative to help these kids. Basically, little kids are given a cute stuffed lion or lamb that is not only soft, but it plays peaceful music through a sound chip, and it also shares with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find out more by visiting victormarks.com, that's VictorMARX.com, or by visiting our website, drjamesdobson.org. Let's get to the program now. Here is Victor and Eileen Marks on today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Dr. Meeker, I wound up asking the last four or five questions on the program yesterday. I want you to start with your own question.
Absolutely.
For these folks.
You know, I've been sitting here wanting to hear from Eileen, who is in studio with her husband, Victor. And Eileen, you have accompanied your husband to these camps and seen these girls being rescued from torture and sexual abuse and violence. And, you know, we process things very differently than men. How did you cope seeing these very vulnerable little girls and teenagers as a mother?
That's a very good question. And I thought I was prepared to see what I was going to see. And I was listening to these girls' story. And through translation, I'm hearing the horrific events that took place, and I had to catch myself from not breaking down, because I pictured these girls as my children, and I pictured them that they are precious in God's sight, and I had to stop, because it wasn't about what I was feeling. It's about trying to show them that God loves them, and He knows their sorrow, He knows their pain, and that was my job, was to be there and just show them through a hug, because I couldn't talk to them without a translator. So
did they hug you?
They did. They saw you as a friend. They did.
As a mother.
They did. You know, because we couldn't talk to one another unless we had a translator, they felt that God loved them. And I think it was such a simple thing, and I know it's universal. God's love transcends every border, and that was my purpose for being there.
Did any of them question you about why a loving God would allow this to happen, or did that not come up?
It didn't come up when we were there. There were so many things going on. It's our heart's desire for them to know that God does love them, in spite of everything that has happened with them.
And I do address that. I tell them there's a difference between God causing and allowing. And God doesn't cause and doesn't want this evil to come upon them. Mm-hmm. But He does allow men and women to make choices that, you know, for good or evil. And one of the most impacting things I've heard, because the way they just twist everything, is I heard a girl say, "I don't want to go to heaven, because ISIS said they will be there.
Oh,
yeah. Oh my goodness. And were you able to refute that?
Yeah, it's just bringing truth. It's bringing truth because, remember, we're fighting evil. We're fighting Satan, the father of lies. And that's how so many people, their minds are darkened. So you just have to bring truth and go, that is not true. ISIS will not be there. You know, and that starts to bring how we live really is effectively qualifying us.
Did you encounter any ISIS fighters?
For us, where we were, we got as close as to the front lines. So there was fighting going on. But we go with pretty solid security teams that are our guys. But where we were staying at in the hotel, we had so many people praying. And even a couple of first-time people in Iraq, they were like, oh, it doesn't seem real dangerous. When we left our hotel, actually, there was a car bomb that detonated after we had left 2 blocks from a hotel, which this last time I went back, I actually was right there. We did field footage. And it was next to the cafe that we had gone into and drank lots of coffee. I mean, it blew out the windows, everything. And I said, yeah, evil is around. But the good news is God's on our side. And for my wife to go to Iraq, I mean, as a husband, I said, no, that's not going to happen. Yeah. And she said, well, you know what? You just need to pray. But Eileen's mindset, she's such a strong woman of faith. She just said, honey, what's the worst that can happen? I said, well, pretty bad. She just goes, even if we die, we win because we're going to be in heaven. And that is just perspective that the enemy can't manipulate through fear. God's in charge. Hmm. You know, the days are numbered by him. So however we're supposed to go, we will. But we're just going to love him, be a light, and love those hurting.
How'd you get through enemy territory? How'd you get into northern Iraq?
Well, the great thing is that the Kurdistan government, the Peshmerga fighters, have rings of security, roadblocks that try to keep, ISIS out. The problem is, these are large cities that we go to, Erbil, Duhok, and then villages, and they can't get in. And it's just a matter of, you trust God. At some point, life continues in war zones, so you just do it. I mean, I've got a friend named Dave Eubanks, who's a Free Burma Rangers founder, and me and him, I flew them in to Iraq. It was his first time. They do work in Burma. And this guy, I mean, if my risk meter's broken, his was never installed. He just sent me a video I put on my YouTube and Facebook where rounds are just zinging by him, just boom, 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 and a guy 3 meters from him gets hit, boom. But he is a frontline missionary to bring aid, hope, love, right where the evil is going. And guess what? Muslims or Kurdish people who see you being in the fight, close to the pain, the hurt, the sorrow, they want to know. They want to know.
Why are you here?
Why are you here? And that's what one girl said. She goes, I don't know what everybody else has offered, but she said this to Mike McIntosh, one of our team guys. She said, but I want what's in you. Because I see the love and I feel the love. I want that. Mm.
Really?
And again, the Holy Spirit is drawing people. We were able to get, we got an emergency call to get a family out of Iraq. And this is probably more information, but we're good to go. And we got this family out in 72 hours, right? But they were hiding in a camp. ISIS had targeted them, was looking for them specifically for certain reasons. And this was local family. This is, Kurdish people. This is not Americans. The mom in a camp, in a tent, hiding, went to sleep, had a dream that she walked into a big Christian church, big, which doesn't exist over there. And a young boy walks up to her and says, Jesus says, don't worry. Everything's going to be okay. 72 hours later, they were out of Iraq in safety, which... Wow. Absolutely is unheard of. So they love Jesus. I mean, they're like, we love this Jesus.
Yeah.
So the Holy Spirit is doing the work. He's doing the work.
That's big God versus little God. That's the conversation I've been having lately. Big God isn't afraid.
Yeah.
Little God's afraid.
Mm-hmm.
What can
mm-hmm.
Christians do now, Victor? Because so many feel so helpless. They see the things online. They see what's on TV. They want to reach out. They want to help, and they feel helpless to do so. What can we do from here? Not everybody can go to Northern Iraq. Not everybody gets invited by the Kurdish government. So what can Christians here do?
This sounds like a typical Christian answer, but prayer. I mean, people who pray with fervency and it makes a difference. That's probably one of the reasons why none of our guys have been hit, you know, or the car bomb didn't get us when we were there.
Do you have a lot of people praying for you?
Oh, we have thousands and thousands.
But we could use more.
Always. I mean,
yeah, you'll get more from today.
Sure. You know, we feel like God's put us on the tip of the spear, and we hear that pretty consistently in the work that we do. So we really beseech people, please just pray for us. But I would tell Christians, be very leery of organizations who say they're doing stuff there.
Mm.
You know, use a lot of wisdom, because there are people now that are trying to capitalize on the pain, the sorrow, using the Christian.
That's an atrocity.
It is. Yeah, I mean, because I'll tell you.
And it happens all the time.
Oh, it sure does.
It's just crazy when a natural disaster strikes or a war zone happens, there are people that wake up and go, we can capitalize on that. We can make money. We can lie to people and make money on that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And now we've got to be wary about that. We've got to do research. We've got to do due diligence. That's why we love your organization, because
thank
we
you.
Know what's happening with you all.
Mm. I can't help but keep going back to something that happened to me a couple weeks ago, Victor, and I would like your thoughts about this. I was recently in the Holocaust Museum. Mm. One of the most disturbing things for me about being there was not just seeing the atrocities that was, you know, Nazi Germans imposed on the Jews, but about how quickly they converted quote-unquote normal average German citizens to their side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, I sometimes feel that so many people in America are just being lulled asleep and converted. It's that frog in the water again.
Right.
And there's a lot of manipulation going on as, well, you know, we're really not that bad and this is really okay. And can you just address that a little bit? What can Christians do to kind of combat that, or how can we help not allow a mass conversion to a very ugly type of thinking?
You
know what, right now on the battlefield there are teenagers fighting for ISIS and young adults taking videos of them fighting and then posting it on social media.
Right.
It's instant. And
what draws them there from an American culture? You know, where even at its worst in poverty, it's nothing like what they're going to go through over there.
Again, I'm going to quote you. It's the breakdown of the American family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you know when we were in Iraq, I was actually the first American to ever go into a juvenile prison in the country of Iraq. They couldn't believe it. And we got access to it. We walked in. I asked the warden, looking at all these kids, I said, what do you think is the number one reason why they're here? He goes, the breakdown of the family. They have no family. I thought, it's global.
They have to belong somewhere.
They have to belong. So,
and that's what they want. They want to be a part of something. They feel disenfranchised. They feel lonely. You know, we've got social media that makes you feel more lonely and more insignificant. You don't have enough friends. You don't have enough followers. Don't have enough likes. And you think there, at least I can be a part of something.
Right. And you know, the other thing, and people may disagree with me, but I think Christians have so dumbed down the heart of young men, for sure, in this country, that, well, we just want to make kids good.
Right.
Versus let them live out how God has called them to be, whether it's courageously, whether it's risk-taking. It's all let's just make you good. These other organizations— they're not taught. They're saying, hey, why don't you get things done? Come over. And it's a constant challenge.
Instead of the youth group taking beach parties or mountain trips or whatever it is, give them a reason for being.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Give them a cause.
Give them a cause.
Well, and you know what? To the cause, making disciples, because that's what ISIS is. They're just making disciples after the cause of extreme Islam. And Christ, I mean, what he has is so much bigger than what so much of the churches are offering.
I've got to ask you this question. It's off the track just a little bit, but before we went on the air, I asked if I could ask you. I'm extremely concerned about the Obama administration's deal with Iran.
Right.
I mean, that's the terror center of the world.
Oh, yeah.
They do more evil than any other country, I think, because they support all forms of terrorism. And you can't trust people like that. And to go in there and give away almost everything, it looks to me like, I don't know all the details, but it looks to me like their negotiations was one-sided. Oh, yeah. We didn't even get the four people out of there who are in prison there. And it just makes me sick. And let me tell you what it reminds me of. You're younger than I am. Do you know who Neville Chamberlain was? Neville Chamberlain was the prime minister of Britain at the time that Hitler was really threatening the world, and it was right on the verge of starting World War II. And Neville Chamberlain was an appeaser.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me a lot of what has happened here with Iran.
Right.
He was an appeaser, and he got on a plane, and he flew to Munich to meet with Adolf Hitler to make a deal with him. Mm-hmm. Make a devil's deal is what it was. He gave Czechoslovakia to Germany, and Hitler promised that's the end of my territorial demands in Europe. And so Hitler signed a paper, and Neville Chamberlain signed it saying that there would be no more conflict. Neville Chamberlain gets on the plane and comes home, and he waves this piece of paper and says, peace in our time.
Mm-mm.
Peace in our time. I have secured World War II right around the corner. Mm-hmm. And the moment Neville Chamberlain got out of town, Hitler began breaking the agreement and everything else. It feels to me like we had a Neville Chamberlain here in this country with Iran just recently.
I wish we had a Churchill right now, because you know that's the only way to deal with bullies. In my opinion, the deal does nothing for the U.S. but help the administration get a political win to try to bolster their foreign policy. I mean, they've failed in foreign policy so bad in that arena that this is nothing more than an opportunity to show that they can do something.
It's his legacy. You know, some people say he did it just to add to his legacy. My goodness, if that means that down the road someplace we have a nuclear war as a result of it, and that could happen. What bothers me is that they didn't even address the issue of intercontinental ballistic missiles. Tell me why you build intercontinental ballistic missiles if you're not going to put a bomb on the top of it.
Right. I mean,
there's no reason for it.
It's a common sense issue that people are calling, I mean, really, it's biblical. People are calling good evil and evil good. And I think when Iran gets this bomb, and they will, this is increasing the danger to Israel significantly, and it really decreases stability in the whole region.
Well, America's falling apart. I mean, it really is. And if that sounds like an overstatement, then forgive me. Very important. You have something called the Lion and the Lamb Project.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that.
You know what? When we came away from all of this, what we've really understood, there are many projects we can do. One that we think can really reach the mass number of children, not only in the Middle East, but in different places, is to provide a little cushion, a little stuffed animal that's a lion and one that's a lamb, with actually a recording inside of it that we're having custom made of soft music to help calm them down. So you have the tactile comfort of the little cushy stuffed animal. You have the music, which is soothing for trauma.
How many of them are you making?
Well, we're looking to make 50,000, and then they're going to have scripture in them too, in their own language.
Goodness.
So it is a way. This will be the greatest single, really, delivery of the gospel with the opportunity to help.
When you've seen refugee camps, these kids are fleeing for their lives, or they've been kidnapped and then not captured, but then taken away from their kidnappers. They have nothing.
No,
I mean, barely the clothes on their backs. They have nothing. There are no toys. There are no games. There are no playgrounds. Nothing. And you're giving them something which soothes them with a stuffed animal, plays music to put them to sleep, and provide scripture to them. That's amazing.
And how are you going to get them to?
You know what? It's we're doing all the hard work, the legwork, and then the tough part will be delivery, you know, in a non-permissive environment in some ways. But we want to allow people just to go to our website and really for $15.
That's it?
Yeah, that's it.
$15 provides the stuffed animal with the music, the scripture, and a way to get it over there?
Yes.
Wow.
You know, we're about impact and outcomes, not just being a some religious organization. That's what we
but
love.
But you are that, too.
Sure. But again, unfortunately, there are a lot of organizations in our day and time that, you know, bring a bad name to Christ.
Yeah, you've said that now two or three times. You mean it.
I do.
You're witnessing things that are occurring in that part of the world that are not helpful.
I was just there last week or whatnot. The tension became so great because certain Christian organizations came in and tried to forcefully convert people in their greatest time of need to the Christian faith so that they could have numbers. The spokesperson for the Yazidi people, a female in the parliament, got up and made the statement, Christian organizations, missionaries that are trying to convert and proselytize hurting people are equal to ISIS.
Wow.
Whoa.
And that cause great. I mean, we have wonderful relationships, but I can tell you right now, our interpreters over there said, please put everything in neutral. We're going to get killed because of that statement. We live in the camps. Please don't put my face on, you know, Facebook or whatever. There was such instant panic and fear, and we were constantly followed everywhere we went. And again, we're willing to take the risk if Christians here will just pray for us and help support that project.
So you're proselytizing by showing love.
That's it.
You're not backing them up against the wall.
That is it. Mm-hmm. We believe the Holy Spirit is big enough to do the rest. You know, we show them love. We help them. They know we're Christians. We tell them God loves them. Jesus loves them. And God is doing a work.
Yeah, you're planting the seeds. Somebody else may do the harvesting, and that's scriptural.
Sure is. Yeah. Sure is. We're privileged to do it.
I love that picture that you just painted of, you know, going over there and loving the people as Christ would love them and not being so focused on how successful am I going to be in evangelizing and am I going to get them to say the right things, but you just do what God tells you to do, and it's so refreshing. And I think there's a lot of the power in what you're doing is where it's coming from. Mm-hmm. God is just blessing that so much.
Thank you.
Let's put closure on what we've been talking about. Lion and the Lamb is the name of it.
The Lion and the Lamb Initiative, yes.
And they can either contact you or us.
Right.
That's right. We're going to have links on our website.
Perfect.
But if people want to go to yours right now, it's victormarks.com, Marks with an X.
Yep.
Or atpministries.org.
Yes, either way. And I think the funding is the easiest part if people respond. The prayer and the risk to get them in, even we're going to try to look at getting playgrounds into.
Eileen, when you married this man, did you know the life that you were going to be living?
I had no idea.
Did you know you'd be the most interesting woman in the world, married to the most interesting man in the world?
I did not sign up for that. This has been an amazing journey. And before we got married, we would say, we're just passing through. That was kind of our motto. Mm, and little did we know what we were going to be doing together. But it's
Were you a believer then?
Yes, yes.
How long have you known the Lord?
I've known the Lord for 28 years.
Ah.
So I just became a Christian. And actually, he was at the church that I raised my hand and received the Lord.
Is that so? In a sense, you led her to the Lord.
Well, I was there, and I wanted to disciple her real quick, and the Lord said, negative, I'll do that. But I did have the privilege of baptizing her at the beach.
Really?
And that was an honor. And my wife is not only my equal, she's more. She's the most godly person I know.
You know, Meg and Ryan, I love these folks. I really do. They love the Lord with all their hearts. They put their lives on the line. They're afraid of nothing. And we're going to be together in heaven.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. I tell my wife, I just want to be able to use a weed eat her yard, her mansion in heaven. I'll just come by and visit her.
Aww. Would you stay in touch with us?
Would love to.
Oh, yeah, we got to have you back.
Thank y'all for partnering with us and being our friends and fellow warriors in all of this.
Hmm. Well, thanks for being our guest for a second day, and we'll do it again.
Thank you.
Definitely. Thank you so much.
Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
And I know our generous listeners are definitely going to get involved and help Victor and Eileen Marks minister to the little boys and girls who have been ravaged by ISIS. There's a great opportunity to do that through something they're calling the Lion and the Lamb Initiative. The children in northern Iraq who have been raped, abducted, or have seen their families killed in front of them suffer from PTSD. And as a result, Victor and Eileen have created stuffed animals, specifically lions and lambs, that are not only cute and cuddly, but also play soothing music as well as share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Think about that. These kids who have just escaped tyranny will be able to not only enjoy peaceful music, but their new toy will also lead them to the Prince of Peace. Visit victormarks.com to get involved. Again, that's victormarx.com. Or visit our website, drjamesdobson.org, because we'll have a link there for you as well. This is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next time for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family.